The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
That I should know how to sustain with words him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear, to hear as they are taught. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Memorial Day weekend. Today and Monday we salute all those graves that you see as you pass by on the highway, all those crosses, and all of the men currently serving in all of the branches of the military, excluding the desk jockeys who are in it only for the money. This is the Savage Nation Memorial Day weekend. Welcome to the program. We're playing the salute to the Marine Corps in the Marine Corps hymn. And it's a little quiet right now. And as it's quiet, I'm serious. Think about all those crosses you see as you drive by on highways, especially the veteran cemeteries. In the, today, of course, only the veteran cemeteries. What did they die for? Did they die storming the beaches of Normandy along with the other troops? Did they die at Khe San? Did they die so that Obama could be president and blame the founding fathers for gridlock in Congress? Did they die so this gang from Chicago could seize total power and make a misery of the United States of America, putting everyone into a state of shock as to what they're getting away with and how fast they're doing it? They're conducting a knockout game on the American people. That's right, it's a political knockout game being conducted by the Democrat Party. Yesterday, Obama gave a speech before a group of billionaires in Chicago. I'll repeat that again. At a Democratic fundraiser in Chicago Thursday night, Mr. Obama told a small group of billionaires that there are several hurdles to keeping Democrats in control of the Senate, recapturing the House. And he said one of those problems is the fact that the Senate was set up by the founding fathers with two senators per state, regardless of population. And he complained, he said, obviously the nature of the Senate means that California has the same number of Senate seats as Wyoming. That puts it as a disadvantage, Mr. Obama said. And of course, as you well know, there are two senators per state. And there was a reason for that. But then Obama doubled down, and he blamed demographics for the inability of the Democrat Party to gain more power, saying this. Listen carefully now. This is what the Marines died for. This is what the Army died for. This is what the Air Force pilots bombed for, so that this demagogue could take over the country while you slept and say the following. He said, quote, Democrats tend to congregate a little more densely in cities such as New York and Chicago. And our demagogue said it gives Republicans disproportional clout in Congress. And then he threw in the punchline before the billionaires. Quote, so there are some structural reasons why, despite the fact that Republican ideas are largely rejected by the public, it's still hard for us to break through, Mr. Obama said. Now, what he's doing here, of course, is now blaming the Constitution and the Founding Fathers for his failures and the fact that the American people can see that the king has no clothes. He's setting it up so they finally don't blame him. He's always passing the buck. Harry Truman said the buck stops here. Obama will be remembered for many things, but one of the things he should be remembered for is saying the buck stops there. It's always someone else's fault. It's never his policies that are so out of the ken of normalcy in the Democrat Party itself. It's someone else's fault. Now it's the Founding Fathers and the fact that there's two senators per state. Well, actually, in the state of California, I wish there were six senators. Then maybe I'd have a representative. Barbara Boxer, the bagel, doesn't represent me. DiFi, the insider trader, doesn't represent me. I have no senator. I haven't had a senator in the state of California since I moved here in 1974. I haven't had a congressman representing me since 1974, the year I moved to California. It's a state owned a holy by the Monopoly called the Demon Cat Party. But you don't want to hear this. It's a long weekend. Either you're in your car, I don't know where, on the way to the airport, you're getting ready for your slathering of the beef, the gathering of the grief. You're getting together for the family weekend, which is nice. It's always good. It looks, you look forward to it till it actually happens, and then nothing is ever what you hope it is for most of us. That's the way life is. Life is a series of hopes and dreams that come crashing down around our feet, which is why it's good to be bipolar and always expect the worst, because you'll never be wrong and you'll never be disappointed. I had a friend who was driving a couple of hours yesterday. I was listening to the Savage Nation the whole day, and he said, I couldn't stop listening. He said, everything you did was captivating. He said, all the sound. He said, all the pauses, all the music. He said, even when you got angry, it sounded mirthful. I don't understand it. I wasn't trying to be mirthful. When we talked about the White Privilege Conference, I was really trying to alert the listeners to what they're supposed to do. But he found it not funny, but intriguing and captivating. And so what can you do? That's what I do. Basically, it comes down to the world as I see it. And let me tell you a little story. Most people are not tuned into politics right now at all. No matter where you are, no matter how political you are, there's only so much you could take, which is why Fox's ratings are down. They were way down on primary evening on Tuesday, and they're a good bellwether of where the people are at. They didn't care. They can only take so much of Dem versus Republican. If I said the Gobbler beat the Tea Party, most people don't even know who the Gobbler is. Nor why it's important. The Gobbler beat the Tea Party in Kentucky. The Gobbler, Mitch McConnell, the guy with the gullet. I'm nothing against him. Actually, I'm glad the Gobbler won. The thing is this. There's room for all of us on the right side of things. You don't have to kill one side to have the other thrive. And so I don't know that I want to do this part of the show today. In fact, I'm going to talk about some other topics. Here's one. Cal graduate sues In-N-Out over spilled coffee. That's right, shyster lawyers again. A UC Berkeley graduate who was severely burned after spilling hot coffee on her lap filed a lawsuit Thursday against In-N-Out Burger claiming employees in Oakland refused to call an ambulance. Hetty Chen, oh, she learned the racket well. Hetty Chen, a UC Berkeley graduate. They didn't teach me how to sue when I got my PhD from Berkeley. I actually had to do something, but I guess Hetty Chen must have studied the law. And she learned that if you spill coffee on your lap, you can blame the restaurant. So her lawyer, Kirk Boyd, said what they were supposed to do was call 911 because the operators know that. There's a policy of not calling 911, and therefore they violated their duty of care to customers. So this wench spills coffee on her lap and then sues In-N-Out Burger. 10 o'clock at night when she and a friend stops at the In-N-Out Burger drive, for coffee and a sandwich. The lawsuit alleges that the employee handed Chen, who was wearing short shorts, an excessively hot paper cup with no protective sleeve. I guess the shyster lawyer can next sue when they give a lukewarm cup of coffee to someone and say that they didn't give her the proper hot coffee. I guess the shyster lawyer can then say the coffee wasn't hot enough. See, this is what happens when you let degenerates into the law profession. I've done show after show on the low level of people going into law schools. You don't understand the law was never intended to be subverted like this by these low-life shyster lawyers. You don't understand that. These tort lawsuits are a distortion and perversion of law itself. That's not what the law was written for. Do you know that in Europe tort lawsuits don't exist? You don't know that. All the libs who say they love Europe so much really ought to import some of that part of the legal system from Europe. Yeah, they ought to say no tort lawsuits permitted in America, and then 98% of the lawyers in this country would have to find a legitimate job. And so this is what happens. Cal graduate sues over spilled coffee. There's nothing you could say on that. I've given you two stories already. Obama blames founding father's structural design of Congress for gridlock. Nothing you could say on that. Cal graduate sues In-N-Out over spilled coffee. Nothing you could say on that. Here's the next story for you, if you think that I pick on only one side of the aisle and one type of personality. City of Oakland probes disability pay of ex-cop who's now an FBI agent. You heard me. Oakland, California officials are investigating why a former police officer is collecting $52,000 a year in medical disability benefits from the city, even though he has been working as an FBI agent in Boston. the unusual case of FBI Special Agent Aaron McFarlane, 41, came to the attention of Oakland officials after the agent was identified last week as the federal officer who shot and killed a key figure last year in the Boston Marathon bombing. You see, this cop is collecting disability under the California Public Employees Retirement System, which is awarded when a worker is unable to perform the usual duties of his or her current position. And despite this disability that he's collecting, he went and took a job with the FBI. He took a job with the FBI. So what kind of vetting has the FBI done? Well, I don't know. I'll let you decide. He became an Oakland officer years ago, and then he injured himself a few months or a few years after he was hired by Oakland, and he resigned or something on disability. 4 years after joining the police force, he became disabled. And we don't know how he became disabled. He probably twisted his ankle or something. And he's been collecting $52,000 a year. And Mr. McFarlane then joined the FBI in 2008, according to the Boston Globe. And guess who this McFarlane is? He is the FBI agent who shot Ibrahim Todashev in his Orlando apartment after Todashev allegedly flung a table at him and brandished the metal pole at a Massachusetts state trooper. So this suspect was tied to a chair. There were three cops there, two Massachusetts state troopers and this FBI agent. And after questioning this suspect for 4 hours, they claim he threw a chair at them and they had to shoot him. It was suspect from the get-go. Now, look, I hate terrorists, and I think that they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law when they're found guilty. But I suspected that this was a revenge shooting in that room. I think they executed him. That's the way it looked to me from day one. Now it turns out that this very same guy who's on this questionable disability collection works for the FBI. So how did the FBI hire him? Don't call me on that. You can't call me on that either. Those are three stories. And now, since you've listened intently for the last 17 minutes and 57 seconds, it's time for a little laughter, and God bless the sound god, because he's given us Nancy Pelosi in clip number three. Without her, the show would not be complete. Let's hear old Nancy Pelosi on the VA scandal.
I don't know that if you wanted to change somebody at the top, that means the system. You know, in other words, there's some of this is intrinsic into the system, and just changing people at the top may appear to represent change, but it's the culture, it's the system, and it's the challenge that they face.
Emphasis on the word face. It's the challenge that they face, and the perennial smile and the ears being pinned back from the Botox is what she has to face every day, not realizing that the American people don't believe a word that Daffy Duck says. Not one word. 19 minutes after the hour, open for business on Open Mic to Mic Friday, 855-407-2282. All the news of the day and more right here on the New World Order, The Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Adam, boys, give her the gun. Down we dive, spouting our flame from under. Off with one hell of a roar. We live in fame or go down in flame. Hey, nothing'll stop the U.S. Air Force. That's before the girls took over from Harvard, when we still had an Air Force. Now it's been taken over by a bunch of psychotics from the universities who are looking under every rock for sexual harassment. Instead of looking for better pilots, they're looking for sexual harassers. That's the Air Force under Obama. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I don't want to bore you with the details of what's going on around you. It's what I do for a living. That doesn't mean you have to listen. Actually, you don't really have to listen when you come right down to it. You have a choice. I mean, you could listen to the Balloon Man. You know, I thought because it's Friday, I should read from the Old Testament, but I realize a very small percentage of people, you know, like the Bible, read the Bible, believe in the Bible, especially younger people. They don't go to church. They don't go to synagogue. If they do, they just go for social reasons. Buy them. Now, don't call me and say you're not one of those and you do and please read it. It's not the demo. It's not the demo. But, you know, I'm saying if you really took the Old Testament literally, most of us would have to be killed or stoned to death. Because unless you understand the interpretation, what it actually meant, if you go to Leviticus, which is very controversial, and it says, here, I mean, this says that Teddy and I have to be stoned to death. It says, if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. Now, I don't know what they meant, but the dog sleeps at the foot of my bed every night. Does it cover that? I mean, there's no modification. It says, if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. Now, you can have a literal interpretation of that and say, okay, you're going to be killed, and so is your dog, because the dog sleeps at the foot of your bed. But that's not what it, I mean, it's not what it meant, obviously. But, you know, if you let the maniacs take control of the theocracy, as they do in Iran and everywhere else the liberals love, seem to love these nations, how come the liberals love fanatics who are Muslims? They look the other way when they do these things to people in these countries. How come? I don't understand that. Here's another one. Every channel you turn on now has something to do with ghosts or zombies, right? That's because the heroin addicts in Hollywood who work for HBO and Showtime are obsessed with this because they're always on acid trips or mescaline or whatever. It says, a man also a woman that divineth by a ghost or a familiar spirit shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. I mean, it's pretty severe because God was a vengeful God. He's become more liberal as the years have gone on. See, originally God was a vengeful God, a mean God, angry. Hellfire and brimstone came out of this guy. And as time went on, he mellowed. He got older, he got tired, the prostate hurt him. His foot started to hurt him a little. He became more compassionate. And then they wrote the New Testament, which is far, far less condemning than the Old Testament when you think about think about that. There's the Old Testament, which was just full of vengeance, but the God was young.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Savage Nation, 855-400-7282. It's open mic to Mike Friday. So, no, I'm saying if you look at the Bible literally, we'd all have to be stoned to death. Look at this one about lying down with a dog. I mean, I don't know what they meant. If you lie with a beast, you shall be put to death, you shall slay the beast. So I say, what does that mean? My dog sleeps at the foot of my bed. I mean, see, you got to be careful about literal interpretations. And that's why, you know, I'm not a biblical extremist, nor am I a biblical absolutist. It's that simple. So the Pope's going to speak to a mufti who called for the extermination of the Jews. That's really something. Where's this Pope coming from? I don't get it. You're not allowed to criticize this guy? What, he was a bartender? I don't understand. You know, this is what I don't understand about religion. How can you take an ordinary man who politically gets to where he is and becomes a pope and turn him into a godlike figure? How can you still believe that in this day and age? What are you, like a Uruguayan native who just came out of the jungle and don't even know? How can you believe a thing like that? So when you say rabbi, what does that mean to me? Rabbi. It means teacher. Some are good teachers, some are bad, and some are stupid. Well, because a guy wears the costume, it makes him a genius. You know, watch out for the uniforms and the costumes. It's that simple. I mean, you know, not everybody wears a uniform as a military uniform as a hero either. A lot of them work in the supply depots. So, you know, I mean, you know, try to analyze. Just because somebody's on the radio doesn't mean they're smart. I get that. And some are and some aren't. Some are boring, some are not boring. Some are smart, some are not smart. Here's a Fox News anchor arrested at an airport. You saw that story the other day? Greg Jarrett jailed after airport incident. Fox News anchor Greg Jarrett, I actually never heard of him, interfering with a police officer at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Jarrett, age 59, was belligerent and uncooperative with police officers. Who responded to a report Wednesday that he was drunk at an airport bar. He is dealing with serious personal issues at this time, a Fox News spokesmouth said, released on bond. So what happened? He got there, took time off, requested time off for personal reasons, blah, blah, blah. Who's Greg Jarrett? Oh, that's him. Oh, look how nice he looks without the 5-day growth. A different guy, I swear to God. He's not a bad-looking guy. But under the surface, it's a very rough business, the media. So no wonder he freaked out at the airport. A lot of people go crazy at airports. They drink too much. They get frightened. They go on a... How about the lunatics on the planes who get, you know, hysterical and paranoid and try to open the door while they're flying? What do you do if you get one of those on the plane who rushes for the handle? You ever fear that while you're flying? Like for 6 hours from the West Coast to the East, 5 hours, you're just waiting for some lunatic to rush the door and try to grab... Can they still open those doors in flight anymore? I don't know. I always feared that. That's what I'm afraid of first class. You get, like, sucked out. There's no hope for that one. I'm glad that they put the doors that you can't get into the pilot's... I'm always afraid to go to the bathroom on a plane. Because the ones that are right next to the cockpit, it's a rough situation. Let's say you're sitting up front in the plane. So naturally, you're going to use the bathroom up front, right? But it's right next to the cockpit. So I walk very slowly towards the bathroom, and I always ask the stewardess, you know, like I signal in a congenial way, is it okay if you use the bathroom? I don't want to think I'm a terrorist. I mean, I look like a Middle Easterner. They could just strap me to a seat and beat me up. I don't know, just for going to the bathroom. So there's always like a fear of flying because there's such maniacs. You know, you don't know what to do anymore. You know, what's protocol on an airplane? Do you just strut up to the bathroom in first class? Like you own it? You own that place. I paid for that seat. I'm going to the bathroom. I mean, next thing you know, an air marshal could strap you to a seat with plastic wraps. And some, you know, good Samaritan could start pummeling you on the back of the head with a fork, a plastic fork. So you have to be cautious on an airplane. And that's why I'm not going anywhere this weekend. I have my van ready to go, my 2006 Chevy conversion van, an Explorer van. It's got captain seats, TV. I don't watch the TV while driving, but it has one in the back, a big screen. It was so ahead of its time, big tires, beautiful car. I'm tempted to go down to Monterey. I haven't been there in years. You know, like the Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey thing with the Touri. But again, it's one of those things, I want to see it. I want to go walk on the pier. Then I get there, I wish to God I was not there. That's the problem when you reach a certain stage in your life where you've been there, done that. You can't do it anymore. You can't go home again. There's nowhere to go. So I stay put in my broadcast studio. I'm working on the final stages of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. It's awesome, the book. It's awesome, the book. It's awesome, the book. You can't even buy it. I'm excited by it. I wish I could sell it to you now. I wish it was coming out in a week. It's frightening. I mean, as I started the book a year ago, people didn't, in the publishing business, thought I was offbeat, off the beam. They're getting frightened by what they see this president doing. So I'm working on that. I got to do 50 hours between now and Monday night to finish the book. That's my Memorial Day weekend, 50 hours. I'm looking forward to it, though. What's 50? Think about it. How many hours are there now between the time the show ends and Monday night? 24, 48, right? And another 24 on top of that? Plenty of time, 72 hours. So if I put 50 hours in out of those 72, it'll be a great, great final version of the book. You say, how can you do that? How can you do a daily show? How can you get up and do the book? Answer, it's why I live. I work, therefore I am. I mean, well, what am I living for? To play golf? Some do, some like it. I don't understand the sport that well. It's too slow for me to begin with. Now, don't get me wrong. It takes great skill to wrap that ball across the field. Don't think I don't know it. But it's too slow a game for me. I can't sit and watch the ball and walk to the ball. And secondly, get allergies from the grass. Who needs it? So I'd rather sit and work on my book for 50 hours. If I put in 10 to 12 hours, all right, this show's going to end. I'm going to work for 3 to 4 hours tonight. Then I'll go and tie one on in a bar somewhere. No one will even know me. No, I won't do that. Maybe I may tie one on Friday night. I find that I work better the next day with a slight hangover. A mild hangover is good the next day because I get, oh, God, why did I drink that vodka last night? It's disgusting. I'm giving it up. I have, like, the coffee. About 2 hours later, I'm feeling great. It doesn't affect me. If I drink wine, I'm sick for 3 days. I don't care what the wine is. It's allergy season. You give me Gaia, which I love, G-A-G-A, the best red wine in the universe. I mean, next to some of the French Bordeaux, which I love on a cold night, a French Bordeaux. The dog likes that, too. He grew up in that Basque restaurant. He knows good red wine and hamburger, believe me. But I can't drink it this time of year. A beer, I'm the goner. It's the all of the hops and the fusel oils in those things. Pure vodka with soda. Did you hear not to take a lemon or a lime or an olive in it? Everyone thinks it's cool. I don't. Just an excuse to get drunk. Why do people think that if they act sophisticated, they're not looking like drunks anyway? Like you drive around, you look at the wine bars all over the white middle class suburbs. It's just a bunch of lushes. In my day, it was like a local bar where people were in the gin mill drinking themselves into oblivion. Now it's, I'll have the Merlot, please. Yes, I'll have the Merlot. I mean, the Merlot is swill. It's like railroad car wine. They deliver the Merlot in tanker cars in California. With like plastic lining. They siphon it off into bottles. You know, it's like $1 upchuck. Let's see. The show's going to end on the West Coast at 3 o'clock, right? So I'm going to give myself a break afterwards of about 4 minutes. So at 3:04, I'm going to run right to the WordPerfect program on my computer and download. I swear, you know how many words this thing is? I have it in front of me right now as I talk. I love it. I mean, I do this. Here, WordPerfect, page 3 of 309, 85,346 words. So if I give myself 50 hours to go through every word again, let me give you an example of what I'm putting in here. I'm going to give it to you now, even though you can't buy it. The book is called Stopping the Coming Civil War, The Savage Truth. You can't even buy it on Amazon yet, I don't think. I'm not going to read you the book, but I want to show you where it's coming from. Chapter 1, The Long March to Civil War. Okay. When you listen to the spring 2014 graduation speeches given by Michelle Obama, Eric Holder, Timothy Geithner, and Nancy Pelosi, you would think that they were rallying the troops for another civil war. The theme is constant. They want literally to take the U.S. back into the 1950s, and refight the battle against racial segregation. Listen to what these people are saying. That's an excerpt from the chapter. It came from my show. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So it is hard in one sense, but not hard in another. I mean, the desperate Democrats are all reading from the same script of race and class warfare. That is the first line of the book. The last chapter of the book is How to Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm still trying to stop the agitation that this man is trying to start, stopping the coming civil war. So I'm looking forward to it. It's not like I'm dreading it. It's not like a term paper I don't want to do. I'd rather do that than play golf. I'd rather do that than go on a car ride. Here in Northern California, there's nowhere to go. I don't go to the wine country because I don't drink wine, and it's all tourists. So that's like going to the Statue of Liberty to drive to the wine country. Like if you lived in New York, you didn't go to the Statue of Liberty, right? If you lived in New York, you didn't go to the Empire State Building. That was for out-of-towners. In Northern California, you don't go to the wine country unless you live there or have a weekend home there. Like when I first moved here, I thought, oh, I want a winery. I don't really want a winery. Who wants to be around all the agricultural chemicals and the noise? As I learned to understand what kind of machinery is required and pesticide sprays in the air. I don't want to live up there. So I never bought a winery or like wineland. It's beautiful to look at in the autumn. I like the wine country the best when the vineyards are somewhat barren and the mustard grows in between the vines. Oh, it's beautiful, the yellow flowers. That's something beautiful to behold. And I like the organization of the vineyards. I don't want to live up there. I don't go there. We don't. So where's there to go here? There's nowhere. I'm going to go to Monterey. I'm going to Cannery Row. It doesn't exist. John Steinbeck has been dead a long time. Cannery Row. Where is it? Where's Cannery Row? They don't can anything there. Like one cannery left owned by Nancy Pelosi's husband, who got a subsidy to bring in fish from Western Samoa under the guise of like, I don't know. How do you get like a tax abatement to bring in fish from Western Samoa? How does that work? I think there's one cannery left in Cannery Row. The rest are all like, you know, like novelty shops with John Steinbeck's underwear. Here's John Steinbeck's hair clippings. Here's John Steinbeck's shoe. Here's Doc. He had a friend named Doc who got killed by a railroad train. Did you know that? The doctor friend who got knocked off, the zoologist. I love John Steinbeck. People don't even know who he is. He wrote The Grapes of Wrath, Cannery Row, many other great novels. Gone with the Wind. All of my references are gone in America. Nobody even knows what they are. I mean, if you're an older guy, over 50, yes, you know them. I could venture a guess that most of the college graduates never heard of John Steinbeck. And I will bet that the literature has been purged that I grew up on. And they've been reading really thin garbage. You know what it's all about. You know how it is, the brainwashing. And I'm not complaining. I don't care. Let them read what they want. I'm sure people complained that when I went to school, I wasn't reading the classics like Shakespeare. I read Shakespeare later on. I hated Shakespeare in high school. I hated it. Boring. I couldn't get anything out of it. The language was obtuse, and the characters meant nothing to me. Kings and queens and princes and prostitutes and harlots. That's why I don't like Game of Thrones. I don't find anything in that show. Why is that so popular? It's all hookers and midgets. I don't get that show. What's that about? And every other scene is either kind of fornication or stabbing someone through the head with a long sword. That's popular in America, I guess. It's sort of like Duck Dynasty of its time. I mean, Game of Thrones was like Duck Dynasty of its time, if you think about it. The equivalent. I mean, the people who were in that are like making duck whistles today. 855-4072. Lots of calls. I don't know if I want to take any of them. I got horror stories, climate change, veterans, God, auto workers, homeless. I have to do for a living, talk about these things. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-4072-82. I shall do little in the way of politics today. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What is this for? Is this Patton? I know it's that. No, turn it off. I can't play it. It's too sad. I mean, it's too sad. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with death and dying and ghosts right now and graves. I can't deal with it. I just can't handle it. I just am not into it. Every time I think about, like, dying and, like, the grave, I just, like, say, it's enough already. It's enough. How many times can you think about it? Supposed to live in the future forever? I want to live in the here and now. You know what I'm saying? Okay, Internet, Laura, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I have Teddy's twin sister. She is...
Oh, my God. Even though he's 10, he's very vigorous. He's extremely macho. He's got a good seed. When can we mate them?
Well, Dusty Marie's going to be 7 on... I hate to say
it. Okay, she's a little old to breed, but Teddy's 10. But he jumps and hops like a rabbit. I want these two to get together. I want a gray poodle. I want a toy gray poodle. What state do you live in?
Well, I'm actually in Florida now. I just moved a year ago from New Jersey.
It's a Jersey poodle? It's a Jersey poodle?
She's a mini. Yes, she's a mini.
Does she bark with a Jersey Shore accent?
Yes.
So what's your question about my little poodle?
Was Teddy black when you got him, or was he gray?
He was black.
Yeah, Dusty was black too.
Black is a black-eyed pea. In fact, my last live performance, I can't believe the time has flown, was live at the Concord Pavilion. They call it something else now, the Chronicle Pavilion. I had 7,000 people come that night. I outdrew Sheryl Crow, by the way. I'm a bigger star than most of the rock stars of today. Teddy was on stage with me. Would you believe that?
I'm fascinated at whoever is grooming him, because it's an unorthodox cut.
Yeah, well, he stopped every time I walk with him, people smile, even the homeless smile with this dog. I don't care if the people, what their race are, everybody loves this dog. He makes homeless people smile. He looks like a little lion. He's trimmed to look like a mini lion. Irene the groomer does it. She's a family friend. This is what she does. She's a dog lover. And he goes to her on Mondays and Fridays. He's with her right now, getting groomed, and he goes a walk. No, he walks, messes himself up first. And he comes home at night. He love him Friday nights and Monday nights. I still love him like Tuesday. I still like him. By Wednesday, I could do without him already. He needs a bath already. I would love little Teddy pups. I would love them. Has your dog been bred yet?
He has not, unfortunately.
Oh, we gotta save the DNA. Neil, get the email. We're breeding Teddy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Movie theater. Give me the Good and Plenty now. I want the Good and Plenty and the popcorn. The reclining seat I could do without. My hair touches the guy's shoe. I need a reclining seat in a movie theater. Yeah, turn it off. It stinks. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So what are the biggest road rage triggers this Memorial Day weekend? According to CNBC, you can even be set off in road rage. According to a new study by Travel Site Expedia, here are the most rage-inducing behaviors. Number one, slow pokes who won't move out of the left lane. Tailgaters, people who text while driving. Can you be pushed into it? But absolutely. Which activity is the one that sets you off? Number one are the left lane blockers. I had one the other day. You don't know what to do. A close second, the tailgater. The ones who ride 3 feet off your bumper and thinking that they're going to make you go faster. I had a Ferrari behind me the other day. All I do is go slower. I'm on a winding two-lane road. You could fall off a cliff. You could hit a deer. I don't care what they do behind me. So the schmuck thinks because he's in a black Ferrari, I'm going to go faster. Luckily, I have a hot rod Mercedes, a big S600, which I don't want to sell it. The car's 5 years old. It's just getting warmed up. So I raise the rear curtain, which has a blackout screen, the sun blocker. And it's my way of giving the... If I put the screen up, they get the message. It's very interesting. I only wish they had a hand on the back of that screen with a middle finger extended upwards. So, I'm going to go faster because he wants me to kill a deer or a bicycle rider. Next are multitaskers, drifters who can't settle into one lane. Oh, the drifters I love. And crawlers who bump along at well below the speed limit. Those are the top five. And there's another road rager, which is the swerver, who suddenly changes lanes without signaling and left lane hogs. Let's see. It says, the report found that 69% of those surveyed have been flipped off by another motorist for some perceived slight. You should never respond to being flipped off, by the way, ever. I had a lawyer friend. He passed away. He used to teach his sons. He was a very, very smart man. He used to say, if someone gives you the finger, or let's say passes you and rolls their window down on the right and starts cursing you, gesticulating angry, what you're supposed to do, he taught it. And these sons were very, very tough kids. They were grown men, but they were tough as nails. He said to them, you don't roll your window down, you make a conciliatory gesture with your head and arm like, oh, I didn't know, I'm sorry. That's what you do in a road rage situation. You can defuse the other guy by doing that. You don't engage it. You don't roll your window down and give him the finger. You're going to have a fight. He can pull out a gun and shoot you. It doesn't matter if he's a lunatic. He said, be conciliatory in a gesture. That'll usually defuse a maniac. I don't follow that, of course. I mean, you should. You absolutely should follow that rule. I find it very difficult. If somebody is doing it to me, I roll the window down and I usually yell at them. But you shouldn't. You should definitely practice what I preach. Oh, my God. Am I allowed to have fun on radio anymore? Everyone's so afraid of radio, they don't know what to do. They think they have to do Ted Cruz, Democrat, the Republican, McConnell. No one even knows who they are. I would say that less than 1% of the American people ever heard of McConnell. They have no idea who the man is. I would say 0.1% heard of Ted Cruz. I mean, I hope he runs and wins. Anyone but Hillary Clinton. I wish him luck, but the thing is, nobody knows him. And I'm not a talking point for the Republican National Committee. Okay? So I'd rather do other things. Politics when necessary. As we get closer to the election, believe me, it's going to be all politics. And here and there, if I see a story, as I often do, but I'm allowed to do road rage, can't I? Well, what's wrong with a road rage story? It's part of your life. 855-407-282. What else is going on in the news? It's not. Doctors urge fist bumps instead of handshakes to prevent illnesses. This is on the front of the Drudge Report. Doctors urge fist bumps instead of... Well, that's a cultural advantage. I fist bump. I don't shake. That's one thing I picked up from the society, fist bumping instead of handshaking. I hate handshaking. I always did. Women hate... women shouldn't handshake. Women, listen to me. Don't you hate guys who shake your hand just to crush it and show you how strong they are like idiots? Hey, little lady. Hey, little gal. How are you? I'm a real macho dude. I like to break your palm. No, I always fist bump. It's much cleaner. The Chinese were smart. Thousands of years ago, why do you think that the Chinese nod instead of shaking? They were smart in the ancient times. Or they would put their two hands together and shake their own hands. What, do you think they were stupid? Yeah, there was no hygiene in those days, number one. I don't want to get graphic. No soap, no running water. Do I have to spell a picture out for you? What, do you think because the guy looked clean? Who knows? I can touch that lunatic's hand. So you didn't. You shook your own hand. You kept your hands together and shook them together. Orthodox Jews don't shake hands. If a woman in an Orthodox Jewish man meets a woman, he can't shake her hand. She can't shake his hand. Because it's, I don't know, something like dating or something like that, to touch. No touching allowed. It's smart. And the women say it's not my custom to shake the hand. I don't know what they do in Pakistan. I think they just hit each other with sticks if they don't make them goat. You see that story yesterday that I covered? That was so disgusting. Awful. The guy beat his wife to death with a stick because she made him lentils instead of goat meat. Yeah, lived in Brooklyn on welfare. Nice. That's what we need, bringing another million people from Pakistan who don't work because they're born Democrats. I mean, Obama says Democrats congregate in cities. What he means is wards of the state. I don't know what I want to talk about. Pelosi, we're finished with. I hope she's going away for the weekend. They become obsessive. They don't stop, from television to graduation speeches. Why do they talk so much? When I was a youngster, politicians did not talk as much as today. Every day, it's either her or John McCain making a fool of themselves. Every minute on another channel, giving another speech. If I graduated from college, would I want to hear a bumbling idiot like Nancy Pelosi giving a graduation speech, selling me another political song? What is she? There's not one inspirational speaker left in America. There have to be some left-wing fanatic politician. Where are the inspirational speeches supposed to come from? Have you heard of anyone other than a left-wing fanatic invited to give a commencement speech? No. Here I am, one of the most distinguished writers and broadcasters in America. Absolutely, whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't matter what you think. I've written 28 books, have a real PhD, I have a daily show for 20 years. I have never been invited to give a commencement speech. Why? Because I'm not a liberal, useful idiot. I cannot push the liberal agenda. Now, for these slime to have blocked a mild-mannered woman like Condoleezza Rice last 2 weeks ago is sickening. I mean, Condoleezza Rice is about as dignified and as mild-mannered as you could ever hope for. She's a woman. She's a minority. She achieved it through her intelligence and her grace under fire. And yet the fanatics who control the universities had to disinvite her because of just a few terrible human beings on the campuses. The loudest scum in the planet run the campuses. The louder the scum, the more perverted they are, the more power they have on the campuses. So that's the world you're living in. That's what your children are getting for the money you're spending. All right, I did my political rage. I just had politics rage. WABC Greg on the road rage story. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Doc. This thing with the road rage, it's bad enough when you're in a car. But please, everybody pay attention. For the motorcycle riders, stupid moves can kill us. Please don't ride 1 inch off our behind.
Wait, you're telling me that people tailgate motorcycles?
Doc, I had one the other night. My girlfriend could have reached around with a marker and written on the guy's hood.
What was he trying to do? Make you go faster?
Yeah,
or kill you?
It's part of it. And the other part of it is it's like a confrontation kind of thing they do. And just being stupid. People are crazy.
Yeah, what kind of bike do you have? What do you present with? What kind of bike?
I got about 30.
No. What kind of bike do you have?
Oh, I was on a Harley the other night. That was a big Harley.
But is it a big Harley, a big loud hog, or what?
Nah, it's moderately loud. But it's a big size bike, and they're still right up our butt.
But well, how fast were you going?
I was doing the speed limit.
Kill that. Yeah, we have to take out the slur. All right, what can I say? I fear motorcyclists for their lives because you know, you look at the back wards of many hospitals, you see motorcyclists in there, ex-motorcyclists. I never owned a motorcycle. I had a motorcycle years ago. It's like when I smoked. You know, I did everything when I was young. Not everything, a lot of things. I smoked the English ovals when I was 18 to 22 when I thought I was an Anglophile. Little did I know I was killing myself on two levels. But no, I had an old broken, like a 1958 Jaguar XK150. I was just, you know, smoked English ovals. I stained my fingers. They were yellow. What did I know? I affected the English thing. I thought, like, as an immigrant son, if I looked English enough, people would like me more. That was the age when everyone in the garment center spoke bad English, hired like a woman with a British accent. Hello, Ace Ties. Remember those days? And that died out. They wouldn't. English accents today are considered passe and absolutely gauche. Now you got to hire like a gardener who hardly speaks English. If you're really cool in Hollywood, you hire someone who speaks broken Spanish. And that really shows how cool you are. You drive the Prius and you speak broken Spanish. You have your assistant speak broken Spanish and broken English. You know, that's what they do in Hollywood. 855-472-82 is the phone number. This is an interesting story. I saw this was coming. Feds warn of food price jump. USDA warns of sticker shock on U.S. beef as grilling season starts. Well, we know why. They're going to blame everyone but Obama. You don't understand, we're living through one of the greatest inflations in your lifetime. But the fraudulent USDA is blaming it on the drought in Texas and Oklahoma. That's not what did it. That is not what did it at all. The reason food is inflating in price is because it represents the real value of the dollar. That's number one. Number two, the second reason is that Bill Clinton cooked the books originally by taking food and fuel off the cost of living index in order to rig the system and make you think that there was no inflation. He started it by changing the books. Clinton, you know, before Clinton, the cost of food and the gasoline and fuel was included in the inflationary index, whatever they call it. But Clinton was very clever. He started by cooking the books and taking them out so you wouldn't think there was inflation. That's when it really started, you know, in its heyday. Now, Obama is not facing the inflation that he's causing in printing money because there's no food and fuel prices in it. If you were to put food and fuel prices in it, you know what kind of inflation we'd have in this country? The real inflation. And then maybe I could earn some interest on my money. I like inflation, by the way. I like the days when there was interest, when there was high inflation. Remember the days in the 70s there was inflation? You put your money in Mexican banks, you're making a fortune on interest. What's wrong with inflation? I'm not talking 100% a year. A mild inflation is very, very healthy, especially when it's tied to the actual economy and the money. We're living through inflationary times, but the gangsters who run the Federal Reserve make you think that there is no inflation in order to protect you-know-who. See, I got through it without saying the O word. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. So Obama blamed the Founding Fathers and the Constitution for the fact that more minorities live in cities and therefore the Republicans are going to win the Senate. Now they're blaming porcine epidemic diarrhea virus for the rise in pork prices. Now they're going to blame the chickens rather than the eggs because egg prices are up by 15% in April alone. Did you hear that? Everything's beyond belief. Potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper. They used to sing that, I read, in a depression, after the depression. Now it's time to grab a gal. Of course, that's different. That's sung in only certain districts of Harvard. Global prices of sugar and coffee remain low, but the at-home cost of your food has increased more in the first 4 months of this year than it did in all of 2013. The food at home CPI. So this is going to affect the Democrats greatly. The pebble in the shoe theory. In other words, if food prices keep rising, rents keep rising, food keeps rising, milk, beef, bread, pork, there's only one person to blame. And that's the existing administration. They're going to try and blame it on global warming. That's what Jerry Brown will do. He'll say it's the drought and global warming that caused fruits and vegetables to go on strike. and the fact that we haven't granted amnesty to the vegetables yet. That if only we grant amnesty to the lettuces and the grapes themselves and let them vote in elections, they're going to go on strike, and as a result, fruits and vegetable prices are going to go up in California. I expect to hear that any day from Jerry Brown. That we must grant amnesty to all lettuces and other vegetables, or else they'll turn on us and they'll refuse to come to fruition. They will remain dormant on the vine. And so, no, these are the big issues, that's all. Little by little, day by day, slowly, a little bit like Venezuela every day. You know, you can't turn America into Venezuela overnight. Not a nation as great as this and as large as this. It takes a while. Just as Hillary said, it takes a village. I mean, it takes time to turn this country into Venezuela. But I would venture a guess that if within the next 2 years, and I don't think it'll happen, that you went to a butcher store and there was a line around the block and there were four salamis hanging in the window and you had to wait on line to get a salami, they'd still vote Democrat. They would not yet put two and two together that it was Obama's failed policies and economics that have caused this. Never. He will never get blamed. Ever. Never, ever. When it becomes just like the Soviet Union, they'll still blame Nixon and Reagan. Again, the ready. I got to go to a break again. It's a wonderful business I'm in. I dream in sound bites now. I have ads in my dreams. My dreams are interrupted now by bumper music and ads. I swear to God. I start to have a wonderful, great, nightmarish dream, and the next thing I know, I'm hearing bumper music, and I have to go to break. All right, I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Be here to laugh with me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Why do birds sing? I loved him when I was a kid. He changed my life, Frankie. Died of a heroin overdose. Too much too soon. Unbelievable. What a voice this kid had. At 13 years old, he was dating 21-year-old hookers out of Las Vegas. God knows what drugs he was doing. I mean, what do you think would happen? But anyway, that's a side story. Just brings back time. I don't know if I want to do politics. It's enough already. You know, who can take it? I think I'm going to read you a story on Rock and Roll Friday, because it's story time on the Savage Nation. Everyone loves my stories. Oh, Mike, I could do without your politics. I really love your stories. Okay, whatever. So I'm going to read you my story, First Dead Body from Psychological Nudity, a book I did years ago, Savage Radio Stories. This was a self-published book. First printing. This was a good book. 2008, published by... I think I published, yeah, Savage Productions at that time. And it contained the Nympho and Alley Pond Park, Half Man, Half Woman. Not a big seller, but a great book. It's a picture of me with the dog in my arm. I'm wearing my Gucci hat. I'm wearing the white sport coat and a pink carnation. So I'll read you the First Dead Body, because that's remnant. Oh, you know what? In order to set this up, Neil, I need something else. I need to get in the mood. First Dead Body. I'm going all the way back to the 1950s. Lower East Side of New York, Ludlow Street, Dad's antique store next to the Nyberg's funeral parlor, the Cadillac hearses. Could you play for me Mel Allen, the great sportscaster of that time? It's a high fly ball into center field at Yankees.
Right, it's a deep right field. That ball is going. It is gone.
Man, one of the
hitting his second homer of the day.
Come on. I got chills up my legs from this. I feel like Dan Rather listening to
11-3 New York.
No, I mean, that voice is one of the voices I grew up on. You talk about radio voices. Here's a guy, a sportscaster. You never heard Mel Allen? I used to carry a radio next to my ear to listen to ball games when I was 11. I outgrew it when I was 12, the baseball thing. But this guy's voice was amazing. So I'm taking you back in time now to a story called First Dead Body. I remember those Cadillac hearses and a certain undertaker who showed me my first corpse in the morgue. Hot day, July, Coca-Cola, icebox, outside, grocery store. Now they call them bodegas. Then they became clubs. You fished in the bottom of the Coca-Cola box. They had ice in it that turned to water. And your arm turned blue as you fished around for a soda. You know, that kind of hot day. And the undertaker was there. My father was busy working in the back of his little shop making a lamp or cleaning. He wired a lot of statues into lamps, and he was busy doing that. Broiling hot day, I was outside. So I asked the undertaker what was going on in the mortuary. He said, well, would you like to see what goes on? I said, okay, sure. So I get in the elevator. It was one of those loft-type elevators where you pull a big cord from the top, an elevator from The Godfather that they moved cars on. To this day, I can hear the hum of that elevator, the motor. I'm going down this huge car elevator into the basement where they kept the hearses, then below into the subterranean depths of the funeral parlor. We get down there. We walk back into the depths of the labyrinth, and suddenly I witness an old woman being embalmed. She's all in pieces. Later, I come back up to the street. Must have been a full half hour that I was gone. My father's in an undershirt outside the store looking for me. Hey, Michael, where were you? And when his eyes caught my eyes, he saw I was a changed person. And that's my Undertaker story. Now we should play jazz behind that, because that's a good short story. I wrote him short and sweet. You don't have to elaborate and tell a whole story. That's all. That's a nice one. Shall I do my first autopsy to really lighten the day up? That saxophone, Neil, can we get... That saxophone guy, I'm sorry, my mic. Oh, that's Coltrane, is it not? Yes, even I can recognize Coltrane. I hope it is. It certainly isn't my grandmother. So now I'm going to read you another cheerful story from my past. Because it makes me the kind of guy I am. It's why you love me or you don't love me. It's why you listen. Thank God you don't have to hear Republican talking points. Okay, so another story is my first autopsy. This is a good one. Nah, it's too slow. Play Mel Allen again. It's almost the same era, but a little later. Now I'm a teenager. We're going to hear Mel Allen again from the radio. We're going to set it up now. But now we're ready in the...
The drive hits the deep right field. That ball is going. It is gone. Maris hitting his second homer of the day. And the Yankees' sixth homer.
Okay, nobody matches Mel Allen. Nobody. I should do baseball announcing. I get a huge audience. When I was on WABC, which I'm on now, years ago I was on WABC before I moved to the station, the Letter Deficient station. Now I'm back at ABC. I outdrew in ratings the New York Yankees. Ask people who know ratings. I did. It's a famous story in radio. All right, so there we did. We had to set up again the Mel Allen voice, right? And here I am right now sitting in front of a microphone with a radio voice that millions love, and I'm going to tell you the story called My First Autopsy, and here it is. Now I'm no longer a kid. I'm a late teenager. And I had gone on my big trip to Europe. You know, hippie, beating a trip to Europe, see the museums, look for girls, blah, blah, blah. Came back on a ship, the Mostam, back from Europe, and I felt a little off base. My mind was blown. It was a kind of a little angst, a little nuts. I didn't know where I was at mentally, so I took a job at a mortuary at Queens General Hospital. I can remember it to this day. Red brick, big smokestack, looked like a crematorium. I go in there as an assistant to just basically mop up and sweep up. I had never seen an autopsy. I don't know why I took that job of all jobs. It was a bizarre choice to begin with. I guess it proved I was a little off base after going to Europe. But then again, I wouldn't be the first or last person to come back from Europe and think that they were a little crazy. Just take a look at what goes on in Europe. So I go down into the morgue, and I'm handed an apron and a mop. And I'm told, basically, kid, your job is to mop up the floor. Meanwhile, I'm watching the autopsies. This was my first autopsy. So I watched the doctor. He's the medical examiner. Now, here's a medical doctor with a medical degree, and he was a medical examiner performing an autopsy. He has a cigar in his mouth, which I thought was weird and kind of disrespectful to the dead. The doctor's chomping on a cigar. He cuts open the dead woman's head, prying back the top of her skull to remove the brain for examination. I'll never forget it as long as I live. She happened to be an African-American lady and a large woman, and he was pulling and pulling and pulling, and the skull wouldn't pull off. So he puts his foot up against the stainless steel table and is pulling and cursing, and the cigar's ashes are falling on the corpse, and I'm the kid in the room there. I couldn't believe what I was watching, and finally he curses, and the skull cap pops off, and that was it. Then I saw another corpse. The man must have been 50, 55, white man in good shape, slim, gray-haired, but not old-looking, dead. And he was completely naked, as you'd expect on a slab. I'm mopping around the table, and I look very carefully at the corpse. I noticed some semen on his thigh, which was novel and unique because I didn't understand much about death at the time, as much as I've since learned. And then there was a young child, 2 or 3 years old, as beautiful as a doll, blonde hair, blue eyes like a doll, still and dead for no reason, still and dead for no reason. I quit the next day and threw in my mop, and that was my first and last autopsy. I need some music, Neil. That was touching. That was a touching song. I mean, we should have a music to go with it. Pretty nice, pretty nice, pretty nice. What else should I play for you? I don't want to get clever right now and funny. I'm sad at the dead child. I don't know how to recover from that. How do I follow up with my own act now? I don't know how to follow up with a dead child. You can't do that. I got it. Harry the Undertaker and Sydney dying of cancer. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read Harry the Undertaker for you on the Savage Nation. Or should you want to go to calls on politics? Audience, attention, Savage Nation listeners. What would you like? politics or stories from psychological nudity, Savage Radio stories? Many of them, by the way, were republished in Train Tracks. Some of the more, the darker ones that are in here, Warren, the publisher didn't want them. Did I ever tell you about Harry the Undertaker? I hope his family is not listening. He said to me, life has been good to me. I've had my share, as Harry the Undertaker once said to me as a girl walked by. You know, I was a young kid, 16, looking at girls, and he would look at them with me, and he'd say, I've had my share. I never heard a man actually admit he had his share. Everyone acts like they're like, you know, so wild, yeah, and they're still out there. He said, I had my share. But I didn't tell you about Sydney. Sydney's a different guy. Sydney's the old man who was dying of prostate cancer years later. I'll tell you about him and then Harry the Undertaker. As Sydney was dying and in severe pain, the girls would go by in the market. He was moaning. Moaning in pain, quietly, was still wearing a neat little suit, tie, jacket, and his eyes were still slits. But when a pretty girl walked by, his eyes would light up, and he'd say, oh, Mickey, Mickey. A pretty girl would walk by, and he'd say, and I can't say what he would say. I have to change it into a family way. In my day, the guys didn't check their words in a dictionary. I'll change it, though, for the radio show. He'd look at the girl and say, oh, Mickey, I'd like to make love to her one more time. As the woman went by, and I'd say, you made love to her? This strange, beautiful, exotic woman? No, no, Mickey. Once more, I'd like to make love to her. He turned the words around. Does it translate? It's like I'm reading from the German into the English. It's like Hesse wrote this. You see, although he was poor, he considered himself a ladies' man. He wore cologne. He wore a suit. He reminds me of that other gentleman, Harry the Undertaker, a dapper little fellow who chauffeured the funeral cars, lived next door. Years after my conversation with Sydney when I was 14, I asked Harry about women. I said, do you monkey around or something like that? He looked at me and said, no, Mickey, I had my share. That was dignified, that a man would say I had my share. It was an amazing thing for me to hear, because today most guys pretend that they're in heat 24-7. They're ready to rut like a rooster in a barnyard, and every woman is fair game to them. You know how guys put on the act. But in reality, most men really aren't like that. It's very unnatural to be in heat 24-7. But this guy was dignified. He said, no, Mickey, I had my share. That was the most dignified thing a man ever said to me. And I think I'm going to pause right now. That's not a bad story. It's one you could read to kids. Very touching. We need some music, Neil. And then I'm not going to take the break yet. I need just some music. We got to hit some music to get me moving on to the seg. I need the old segue.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My need is such.
Such, it is the Savage Nation. Pardon me for drifting off into storytelling when there's so much Democrat-Republican news to talk about. No, I'm being sarcastic. I can't take it. You can't either. It's Memorial Day weekend. Give it a break already. So I told you a story. There's nothing you can say about any of them. Let's take some callers, though. We're rushing. I can't believe the time is almost up for the first 2 hours of the show. Of course, there's another third hour in most of the country, but many stations leave us. Some do, actually. Not many. After 2 hours, and I want to get to some of these callers before they go off into the wild blue yonder. Bobby on WABC in New York, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Listen, Michael, I know that the job you have to encompass all the political crap that we hear.
Yep.
Please, do not let your heart be troubled. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, do you really think that he's going to break his covenant with those people? Things are set in stone. God doesn't change.
You asked me a question. Shall I answer you? You're saying, will God break his covenant with the Jews? Isn't that what you're saying? Hello?
Yes.
Where'd he go?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, the answer is yes. He did it in 1939 with the death camps.
You're not finished, Michael. Israel's still...
Well, Israel may still be here. That's terrific. I wish Israel well. Where was God when the death camps were rolling? Where was God then?
Michael, God uses bad people for his own reasons.
I've heard that argument. Yeah, well, it's hard for me to bear. You know, I've seen it both ways. If it wasn't for the Holocaust, there'd be no Israel. I heard that. Go tell that to the survivors of the Holocaust and see what they think about it. No, I'm sorry, you know. Look, the thing is this. You can't say, will God forsake Israel? I'm not worried about God forsaking Israel. I'm worried about Obama forsaking Israel. I'm worried about Obama doing business with Iran. I'm worried about Obama seeming to be on the side of the Islamists around the world while saying he's fighting them. I mean, how do you explain what he's done in Libya other than to say he wanted the Islamists to take over? He was warned that this would happen.
Any evil person, but I'm telling you, God, didn't he use the Persians to let Israel rebuild the temple?
I don't know what he did.
In the grand scheme of things, I'm telling
you. You're saying that you believe God controls every act on earth?
Yes, he is.
I don't. That's where you and I totally disagree. I told you I believe that God is omnipresent, but he's not omnipotent. Because if I believed God was omnipotent, I'd have to say I don't believe in a God that's so punitive, a God that hurts little children, a God that permits a school bus full of good Christian children to fall off a cliff. So I don't believe God controls every movement of every leaf and every fish. I believe that God set the clock in motion and the rest is up to us. I believe in free will.
That's true. That's very true.
So God is everywhere, but he's not controlling everything. And because I believe that, I believe anything could happen to Israel, especially when you have an administration like this, which is undermining at every turn. I'm sorry, but that's my opinion. And I don't apologize for it. I'm sorry in the sense that I don't want to break the bad news to you. Well, that does it for most of these 2 hours on the Savage Nation. If you're leaving us, sorry to hear that as well. Enjoy the weekend, because I won't be. I'll be spending 50 hours working on my new book, Stop the Coming Civil War, called The Savage Truth. Maybe it's on Amazon now. I don't know.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
It is the Savage Nation, Memorial Day weekend version. It's 6 minutes after the hour. It's Rock and Roll Friday, by the way. 855-407-282. We'll get you to speak to more people than you meet for the rest of your life. The rest of your life. So any topic I said is fair game. We move on to some of them that we've touched on over the last few weeks on the program. And we begin in San Francisco on KSFO. Lynn, what's your horror story?
Hello, infidel.
Hello, infidels.
That, and you'd be here or be nowhere. And did you hear what I just said to you? Anyway, first time, long time. And it's so neat to talk to you. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's so cheerful to have a happy woman. You must be one of very few.
congratulations on your anniversary and your phenomenal success in both radio and publishing. It's amazing. And hi to Teddy. It's delightful to hear his voice, as yesterday.
Oh, yes, he does bark on air once in a while.
Giggled. And love to poor luckless Lorenzo. In Italian, first lady is prima donna.
Now, you're losing me. Tell me about the owner of the North Beach restaurant. I know he's been fighting his illness.
Well, his dog, Luigi, was run over. Remember,
oh, God, one bad thing after another. God. Let's be positive, Lynn. Give me a homeless horror story. Let's get positive.
Okay. Oh, the Obama Library teleprompter. Anyway, I was walking on Union Square in the city, San Francisco, behind a family with a 9-year-old girl. A homeless man standing there struck the girl with his hand. The father said, "Did you hit her?" And I was even more dismayed to hear that it was a British accent and inflection. And I'll bet that they marched right back to their hotel in high dudgeon and packed their bags and left.
Well, wait. You mean a homeless guy hit the baby for what no reason? Another crazy person in the streets of San Francisco?
Maybe she wrinkled her nose or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'll bet they left.
Well, why wasn't the policeman called, one of the police girls called to arrest the homeless man?
I don't know what happened.
Well, if they had called the police girls of San Francisco, they would have arrested the child for insulting the homeless person. That might have happened. Maybe that's why the tourist didn't call the SFPD.
But I hope that they left a letter for then Mayor Annie Toothsom Newsom.
Oh, it happened in those days, so it's not a current story. Ah.
Yeah, it was.
All right. Well, sorry that. That happened certainly to the child. 855-472-8222. Let us go to WABC in New York City, where we have an 89-year-old veteran with a story. Sid on WABC in New York City. Go ahead, please.
I'm here. I'm blind and I'm paralyzed. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm confined to this wheelchair, and it's a terror. I had written a book, My Time in Combat, which is being published shortly, and I put in for a new van to get around in. And everything was approved. I sent all the papers into the Veterans Administration in Houston Street. I hope they're listening. And the man says to me, "You have to wait in line. We have a lot of people." I says, "I'm 89 years old. How long do I have to wait?" He says, "You still have to wait in line." And the president's edict is that no disabled veteran in a wheelchair should be waiting in line. So my government is failing me.
I can believe it. Where did you fight? In World War II, Sid?
World War II. And I fought with the...
No, Sid, where'd you fight? In World War II?
Yes, in Europe.
Where? What were you with, Patton, through Europe, or where?
I was in Patton's army, the Third Army. I had the honor to fight along the French command. I proved myself. In 1944, I was awarded the Medal of Honor, and my company commander said, "No Jew bastard is going to get the Medal of Honor through me." So I'm still waiting for it. But the French government is...
For what act of bravery were you originally awarded this medal?
I was sent out on a mission, a very dangerous mission in the English Channel, and I was the only volunteer out of 9 men, and I completed the mission, and when we get back to the company commander, my lieutenant says, "I'm putting Sidney in for the Medal of Honor."
Word. We got to keep hitting the kill button when you say the B word. We can't. We can't run. So Sid, did you grow up in New York City as a kid?
I was born in Harlem.
So that was an Italian and Jewish neighborhood at that time, correct?
Yes. Well, I like.
So, wait. Stick with me. So I assume you had your share of fights as a kid. Is that right?
Oh God, yes, I did. But I made a lot of trouble for myself, too, because I looked for it. But anyway, in 19...
So, wait. You're making a very important point, Sid, in case you don't even know it. It's my contention that some of our most troubled youth, especially those who get in trouble with the law, could be of great service to the military if only they were permitted to join and go on dangerous missions. Don't you agree with me?
That's exactly what I did.
I mean, it's like the Dirty Dozen, you know what I'm saying? Why do we rule out of the military anybody with, let us say, the ability to really fight in that regard? Why must we only pick those who are politically so, you know, sensitive that they can make it in a corporation.
Well, I don't understand. All I remember is that my teachings by my mother and father is to always be good. And I learned that in Cheder. So I tried.
Yeah, but you can't always be good, because the world is not a good place. The world is a bad place.
That's because of the liberals.
I don't know because of who. The world is what it is. It's been that way a long time, and you can't be good everywhere you go. It's impossible. It's impossible. I mean, a man has to stand up for himself. So you wound up a vet, you're sitting in a wheelchair, and your administration, your VA, is failing you, is the basic story here, Sid.
But the French government is not failing me. They're giving me the Medal of the Legion of Honor on November 11th.
Are? All these years later, you're getting the French Legion of Honor?
The Medal of Honor. It's like a Medal of Honor, because I fought with the French commandos.
Oh, that's very, very honorable. Is there anything that I could do to help you? What are you trying to do, buy a van?
Well, they're supposed to give me a grant. They approved the grant, but the people down in Housing Street says I have to wait in line.
All right, Sid, but I'm saying, what is the grant for? You're trying to buy a handicap-accessible van?
The government supplies $19,500 toward a van, and I have the balance of the cost.
But what is it? You'd be able to drive it yourself?
I can't. I'm blind.
So who's going to drive you in the van?
My wife, who's disabled, too.
Wow, what a story, and people suffer every day. Sid, I hope that you're... trials and tribulations end soon on the in the Houston Street VA. What a hero. What a wonderful story that is. That opens up a line at 855-400-7282 on open mic to Mike Friday. Let's go to WBAP in Dallas. Matthew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, calling you from Dallas, Texas, my friend.
Thank God.
With a positive story about a graduation commencement address. The University of Texas at Austin, my son just graduated last Friday, had Admiral William McRaven give a speech to those kids.
They let you're in Texas. That's where conservatives, thank God, can still exist.
Yeah, even at the university level, where, honestly, I was starting to get a little bit concerned about it. But he gave a great speech and talked to them about what it took for him to become a Navy SEAL and to graduate from that program, and it was absolutely inspiring and absolutely conservative in its approach and followed all of the lessons in life that these kids need in order to be successful.
Well, thank God that there's a positive one out there. I really appreciate that, and thanks for listening to the Savage Nation. It's 15 minutes after the hour. If you care to join the program, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-407-282. Let's look at the news on michaelsavage.com and see what's going on in the world outside of radio. I've tried to avoid the news, but here we go. VA scandal, socialized medicine on trial. PJ Media says, Obama's dream of a single-payer system disintegrated with the VA scandal. Powerline reports, memory lane. Remember when liberals said the VA was proof that socialism works? The big story of the day for me is that Obama blames the founding fathers' structural design of Congress for gridlock. He lamented at a private fundraiser the other night in front of billionaire Democrats that because each state gets an equal number of senators, the Democrats cannot control Congress. He said it's very unfortunate that each state gets two senators, and he'd like to blame the founding fathers for that. Meanwhile, in New York City, a knockout game suspect chased down by victim's friend. Did you read that story? It's on michaelsavage.com. Oh, yes. Knockout game suspect chased down by victim's friend. This is an interesting story. A Brooklyn fare beater allegedly punched a young woman in the face while playing the knockout game in a Manhattan PATH station. Ibrahim King, 36, slugged 20-year-old Elizabeth Mejia, breaking her orbital bone in the 9th Street station, 3:40 a.m. Sunday. He looks at her for a very short moment, and then he pulls his right fist back and lunges across the railing and punched the girl in the face, said her friend Stephen Saylor. But the story doesn't end there. It just begins there. The boyfriend chased and grabbed this piece of garbage, King, puts him in a chokehold, rips out one of his dreadlocks in the process, and the boyfriend asks the SOB repeatedly if he thought it was funny, and I asked him if he was sorry, said Saylor, 21. The bum finally apologized, but not right away. The assailant squirmed out of the chokehold and tried to escape, but he was tracked down by Port Authority detectives. He was charged with assault, not with a hate crime. Meanwhile, the girl was taken to Bellevue Hospital, where she was treated for fractures to her left orbital bone and her nose. That's the real America. That's the America that the liberals don't want you to see. But that's the America that's out there. Be careful where you go. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
A white sport coat and a pea.
I thought I would play this racist relic of the 1960s, a white sport coat. It's been banned now, I guess, in America. Because you can't have a white sport coat. I mean, obviously, it's a mark of the antebellum South to wear a white sport coat. In fact, you should burn all of your white clothing. It might be confused with a sheet. In fact, you should burn... No, I think, in fact, Obama should send Acorn workers into your house to see if you have white sheets in your linen closet. Because you never know, they could be used at night for cross burnings. You never know. I mean, the absurdity of what's going on in this country under this administration and the outlandishness of a white privilege conference. And it's not the first time I've talked about it, but it's not going to be the last time either, I can guarantee you. I want to remind you of white male inventions. Trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, and fax machines. These are all miracles that we have all used, made possible by the minds and spirits of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Caselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and the other dead white males of the white privilege conference universe. Now, why am I pointing this out? I'm pointing it out for an obvious reason. These inventions did not just spring into existence by themselves. They have traceable origins. And the great majority of these inventions have been brought about by the genius and inventiveness of this most despicable of genders, the dreaded white male, or to be exact, by specific individual white males. And don't get me wrong, this is not to discredit the many contributions coming from non-Caucasians, but fact is fact. Our most important and consequential inventions have come almost exclusively from Caucasian males. Now, curse me if you will, but don't call me a liar, because then you'll have to come up with the proof that I'm wrong, and you can't. I didn't say that there were no important contributions from non-Caucasians. I said that the overwhelming majority of major inventions came from this one group. Now, I know about such things as the Chinese and gunpowder, but they didn't take it much beyond firecrackers and pyrotechnics. And yes, I know about the pyramids and masonry of South America and the zero of the Arabs. But would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers who, for example, had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? That was Aristotle in the 5th century B.C. Did you know that Aristotle in the 5th century B.C. used electric charges to treat gout? Do you know that Archimedes perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres? And from these basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it then went to the Romans. And after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans who expanded on the scientific knowledge. In modern times, these ideas were developed by such Europeans as Volta, Ampere, Watts, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today. And all of them are hated on university campuses and marginalized as dreaded white males. Well, but the facts are the facts. And what you must also understand is many of these great men pursued their genius at great personal risk, boys and girls. Here's a piece of news that you're going to find shocking. You know about the VA scandal? It is from Free Beacon. Senate Democrats just blocked a bill to increase accountability at scandal-plagued Veterans Affairs Department. They blocked this bill. It passed the House. Senator Marco Rubio asked for consent to take up and pass the Veterans Affairs Management Accountability Act that would have made it easier for the scandal-plagued department to fire employees based on poor performance. Now, the House passed the legislation yesterday with a bipartisan vote of 390 to 333. Only Democrat slime objected. Now, you figured the Senate would follow suit, right? No. Senator Bernie Sanders, that piece of human... Okay, I'll stop. That Solenterate from Brooklyn. Sanders blocked it. Do you understand what's happened to the country? Do you understand how deeply embedded these leftists are in this country? When asked about reports of multiple deaths related to long wait times at the VA healthcare system, Sanders said to CNN, people die every day. That's what's going on in the country. Bernie Sanders, Democrat Party, Democrats, Harry Reid, and the unions blocked a bill passed by the House that would have made it more easy to fire people who were found to have committed scandals at the VA departments across America. Blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Adam boys, give her the gun. Down we dive, spouting our flame from under. Off with one hell of a roar. We live in fame or go down in flame. Hey, nothing'll stop the U.S. Air Force. That's before the girls took over from Harvard, when we still had an Air Force. Now it's been taken over by a bunch of psychotics from the universities who are looking under every rock for sexual harassment. Instead of looking for better pilots, they're looking for sexual harassers. That's the Air Force under Obama. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I don't want to bore you with the details of what's going on around you. It's what I do for a living. That doesn't mean you have to listen. Actually, you don't really have to listen when you come right down to it. You have a choice. I mean, you could listen to the Balloon Man. And let me tell you a little story. Most people are not tuned into politics right now at all. No matter where you are, no matter how political you are, there's only so much you could take, which is why Fox's ratings are down. They were way down on primary evening on Tuesday, and they're a good bellwether of where the people are at. They didn't care. They can only take so much of Dem versus Republican. If I said the Gobbler beat the Tea Party, most people don't even know who the Gobbler is, nor why it's important. The Gobbler beat the Tea Party in Kentucky. The Gobbler, Mitch McConnell, the guy with the gullet. I'm nothing against him. Actually, I'm glad the Gobbler won. The thing is this. There's room for all of us on the right side of things. You don't have to kill one side to have the other thrive. And so I don't know that I want to do this part of the show today. In fact, I'm going to talk about some other topics. Here's one. Cal graduate sues In-N-Out over spilled coffee. That's right. Shyster lawyers again. A UC Berkeley graduate who was severely burned after spilling hot coffee on her lap filed a lawsuit Thursday against In-N-Out Burger claiming employees in Oakland refused to call an ambulance. Hetty Chen, oh, she learned the racket well. Hetty Chen, a UC Berkeley graduate. They didn't teach me how to sue when I got my PhD from Berkeley. I actually had to do something, but I guess Hetty Chen must have studied the law. And she learned that if you spill coffee on your lap, you can blame the restaurant. So her lawyer, Kirk Boyd, said what they were supposed to do was call 911, because the operators know that. There's a policy of not calling 911, and therefore they violated their duty of care to customers. So this wench spills coffee on her lap, and then sues In-N-Out Burger. 10 o'clock at night, when she and a friend stops at the In-N-Out Burger drive, for coffee and a sandwich. The lawsuit alleges that the employee handed Chen, who was wearing short shorts, an excessively hot paper cup with no protective sleeve. I guess the shyster lawyer can next sue when they give a lukewarm cup of coffee to someone and say that they didn't give her the proper hot coffee. I guess the shyster lawyer can then say the coffee wasn't hot enough. See, this is what happens when you let degenerates into the law profession. I've done show after show on the low level of people going into law schools. You don't understand, the law was never intended to be subverted like this. These tort lawsuits are a distortion and perversion of law itself. That's not what the law was written for. Do you know that in Europe tort lawsuits don't exist? You don't know that. All the libs who say they love Europe so much really ought to import some of that part of the legal system from Europe. Yeah, they ought to say no tort lawsuits permitted in America, and then 98% of the lawyers in this country would have to find a legitimate job. And so this is what happens. Cal graduate sues over spilled coffee. Here's the next story for you, if you think that I pick on only one side of the aisle and one type of personality. City of Oakland probes disability pay of ex-cop who's now an FBI agent. You heard me. Oakland, California officials are investigating why a former police officer is collecting $52,000 a year in medical disability benefits from the city, even though he has been working as an FBI agent in Boston. The unusual case of FBI Special Agent Aaron McFarlane, 41, came to the attention of Oakland officials after the agent was identified last week as the federal officer who shot and killed a key figure last year in the Boston Marathon bombing. You see, this cop is collecting disability under the California Public Employees Retirement System, which is awarded when a worker is unable to perform the usual duties of his or her current position. And despite this disability that he's collecting, he went and took a job with the FBI. So what kind of vetting has the FBI done? Well, I don't know. I'll let you decide. He became an Oakland officer years ago, and then he injured himself a few months or a few years after he was hired by Oakland, and he resigned or something on disability. 4 years after joining the police force, he became disabled. And we don't know how he became disabled. He probably twisted his ankle or something. And he's been collecting $52,000 a year. And Mr. McFarlane then joined the FBI in 2008, according to the Boston Globe. And guess who this McFarlane is? He is the FBI agent who shot Ibrahim Todashev in his Orlando apartment after Todashev allegedly flung a table at him and brandished a metal pole at a Massachusetts state trooper. So this suspect was tied to a chair. There were three cops there. Two Massachusetts state troopers and this FBI agent. And after questioning this suspect for 4 hours, they claim he threw a chair at them and they had to shoot him. It was suspect from the get-go. Now, look, I hate terrorists, and I think that they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law when they're found guilty. But I suspected that this was a revenge shooting in that room. I think they executed him. That's the way it looked to me from day one. Now it turns out that this very same guy who's on this questionable disability collection works for the FBI. So how did the FBI hire him? Don't call me on that. You can't call me on that either. So the Pope's going to speak to a mufti you called for the extermination of the Jews. That's really something. Where's this Pope coming from? I don't get it. You're not allowed to criticize this guy? What, he was a bartender. I don't understand. You know, this is what I don't understand about religion. How can you take an ordinary man who politically gets to where he is and becomes a pope and turn him into a godlike figure? How can you still believe that in this day and age? What are you, like a Uruguayan native who just came out of the jungle and don't even know? How can you believe a thing like that? So when you say rabbi, what does that mean to me? Rabbi. It means teacher. Some are good teachers, some are bad, and some are stupid. Well, because a guy wears the costume, it makes him a genius? You know, watch out for the uniforms and the costumes. It's that simple. I mean, you know, not everybody wears a uniform as a military uniform as a hero either. A lot of them work in supply depots. So, you know, I mean, you know, try to analyze. Just because somebody's on the radio doesn't mean they're smart. I get that. And some are, and some aren't. Some are boring. Some are not boring. Some are smart. Some are not smart. Here's a Fox News anchor arrested at an airport. You saw that story the other day? Greg Jarrett jailed after airport incident. Fox News anchor Greg Jarrett, I actually never heard of him, interfering with a police officer at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Jarrett, age 59, was belligerent and uncooperative with police officers. The respondent report was that he was drunk at an airport bar. He is dealing with serious personal issues at this time, a Fox News spokesmouth said. Released on bond. So what happened? He got it. It took time off. Requested time off for personal reasons, blah, blah, blah. Who's Greg Jarrett? Oh, that's him. Oh, look how nice he looks without the 5-day growth. A different guy, I swear to God. He's not a bad-looking guy. But under the surface, it's a very rough business, the media. So no wonder he freaked out at the airport. A lot of people go crazy at airports. But you don't want to hear this. It's a long weekend. Either you're in your car, I don't know where, on the way to the airport, you're getting ready for your slathering of the beef, the gathering of the grief. You're getting together for the family weekend, which is nice. It's always good. It looks, you look forward to it till it actually happens, and then nothing is ever what you hope it is for most of us. That's the way life is. Life is a series of hopes and dreams that come crashing down around our feet, which is why it's good to be bipolar and always expect the worst, because you'll never be wrong and you'll never be disappointed. Yesterday, Obama gave a speech before a group of billionaires in Chicago. I'll repeat that again. At a Democratic fundraiser in Chicago Thursday night, Mr. Obama told a small group of billionaires that there are several hurdles to keeping Democrats in control of the Senate, recapturing the House. And he said one of those problems is the fact that the Senate was set up by the Founding Fathers with two senators per state, regardless of population. And he complained. He said, obviously, the nature of the Senate means that California has the same number of Senate seats as Wyoming. That puts it as a disadvantage, Mr. Obama said. And, of course, as you well know, there are two senators per state. And there was a reason for that. But then Obama doubled down, and he blamed demographics for the inability of the Democrat Party to gain more power, saying this. Listen carefully now. This is what the Marines died for. This is what the Army died for. This is what the Air Force pilots bombed for. So that this demagogue could take over the country while you slept and say the following. He said, quote, Democrats tend to congregate a little more densely in cities such as New York and Chicago. And our demagogue said it gives Republicans disproportional clout in Congress. And then he threw in the punchline before the billionaires. Quote, so there are some structural reasons why, despite the fact that Republican ideas are largely rejected by the public, it's still hard for us to break through, Mr. Obama said. Now, what he's doing here, of course, is now blaming the Constitution and the Founding Fathers for his failures and the fact that the American people can see that the king has no clothes. He's setting it up so that they finally don't blame him. He's always passing the buck. Harry Truman said the buck stops here. Obama will be remembered for many things, but one of the things he should be remembered for is saying the buck stops there. It's always someone else's fault. It's never his policies that are so out of the ken of normalcy in the Democrat Party itself. It's someone else's fault. Now it's the Founding Fathers and the fact that there's two senators per state. Well, actually, in the state of California, I wish there were six senators. Then maybe I'd have a representative. Barbara Boxer, the bagel, doesn't represent me. Defy the insider traitor doesn't represent me. I have no senator. I haven't had a senator in the state of California since I moved here in 1974. I haven't had a congressman representing me since 1974, the year I moved to California. It's a state owned wholly by the monopoly called the Demon Cat Party. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is a movie theater. Give me the Good and Plenty now. I want the Good and Plenty and the popcorn. The reclining seat I could do without. My hair touches the guy's shoe. I need a reclining seat in a movie theater. Yeah, turn it off. It stinks. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So what are the biggest road rage triggers this Memorial Day weekend? According to CNBC... you can even be set off in road rage. According to a new study by travel site Expedia, here are the most rage-inducing behaviors. Number one, slow pokes who won't move out of the left lane. Tailgaters, people who text while driving. Can you be pushed into it? But absolutely. Which activity is the one that sets you off? Number one are the left lane blockers. I had one the other day. You don't know what to do. A close second, the tailgater, the ones who ride 3 feet off your bumper and thinking that they're going to make you go faster. I had a Ferrari behind me the other day. All I do is go slower. I'm on a winding two-lane road. You could fall off a cliff. You could hit a deer. I don't care what they do behind me. So the schmuck thinks because he's in a black Ferrari, I'm going to go faster. Luckily, I have a hot rod Mercedes, a big S600, which I don't want to sell it. The car's 5 years old. It's just getting warmed up. So I raised the rear curtain, which has a blackout screen, the sun blocker. And it's my way of giving the... if I put the screen up, they get the message. It's very interesting. I only wish they had a hand on the back of that screen with a middle finger extended upwards. So I mean, what, I'm going to go faster because he wants me to kill a deer or a bicycle rider. Next are multitaskers, drifters who can't settle into one lane. Oh, the drifters I love. And crawlers who bump along at well below the speed limit. Those are the top five. And there's another road rager, which is the swerver, who suddenly changes lanes without signaling and left lane hogs. It says the report found that 69% of those surveyed have been flipped off by another motorist for some perceived slight. So as we come into the end of hour number three in the Savage Nation, getting ready for our Memorial Day weekend, I can't help but tell you that Obama just attacked the Founding Fathers' structural design of Congress for gridlock. We have the sound. Surrounded by his fascist cronies, he took a swipe at the Founding Fathers, said that his inability to move his left-wing fascist agenda is based on the disadvantage of having each state represented equally in the Senate. I swear to God. At a Democratic fundraiser in Chicago, Al Capone's hometown, Thursday night, Obama told a small group of billionaires that there are many hurdles to pushing his agenda, and one of those hurdles is the apportionment of two Senate seats to each state, regardless of population. Obama said, obviously, the nature of the Senate means that California has the same number of Senate seats as Wyoming. That puts us at a disadvantage, the petty dictator said. Did you hear what I just said to you? The president also blamed demographics for the inability of the Democratic Party to push their left-wing socialist agenda in Congress, saying that Democrats, quote, tend to congregate a little more densely in cities such as New York and Chicago. He said it gives Republicans disproportional clout in Congress. Obama went on and gave a punchline to the billionaire Democrats. So there are some structural reasons why, despite the fact that Republican ideas are largely rejected by the public, it's still hard for us to break through, Obama, the left-wing fanatic, said. Now, if you don't understand what he's saying between the lines, that he's pushing the coming insurrection, the coming civil war, I can't help you. This is the dictator the left has dreamed of all of their lives, and he's got a few more years to go. Enjoy that as we remember the vets this Memorial Day weekend. Sure, enjoy yourself, slather that sauce on those ribs, and swill the brew. But remember, those guys in the ground underneath all those crosses are the reasons we still have our freedom. God bless America, and God bless our veterans. Good night, and God bless America.
Savage.